What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Oh, I wanted to do something, and now I totally forgot. I was so stupid.
What'd you want to do?
This is the worst show ever. Hi,
it
everybody.
Just started.
I know, but it's even worse now.
All right. Well,
'cause I had a drink on the last two, and I was gonna have another one.
You know, and I was thinking I wanted to buy Miller Lite for today.
Miller Lite.
Yeah, because we're gonna be talking about things in Wisconsin.
Well, I had a whole plan because I had the Bud Light Platinums, and they're brewed for the night. And I was going to say, and I can hold it and say, good evening.
Oh.
But now I can't do that.
Oh, well, you ruined it.
Yeah.
Ruined all the fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, good evening, everybody. Tonight, we are taking a trip to Rhinelander, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
To discuss the Hodag. A creature who I recently learned about. And I think it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
It's completely ridiculous. If you think the Jersey Devil is ridiculous, wait till you hear about the Hodag.
Well, it's funny because, all right, well, let me start from the beginning. So, the Hodag from Rhinelander, Wisconsin is a fearsome critter, is how it's described, that resembles a large bullhorned carnivore, whatever that means. It has thick tusks in its mouth, a row of spines on its back. It's kind of prehistoric looking. Its image is up actually above my head. And the Hodag was featured prominently with Paul Bunyan stories. It was up in Wisconsin in the woods, in the pines. It's funny how a lot of these creatures originate in pined woods.
I guess since pines are evergreens, there's always like substance to them to hide
figures and animals. I didn't know where you were going with that, but now it makes sense.
I think just because they're not bare, like, you know, trees with leaves are. So if something's in the pines, there's more coverage.
You're onto something.
For hidden creatures.
Yeah, I believe it. The origin of the Hodag started in 1893 when a newspaper reported the discovery of the Hodag in Rhinelander. The articles claimed that the Hodag had the head of a frog, a grinning face of a giant elephant, which is strange. Because I don't know if I ever heard an elephant described as grinning. Is that a thing?
I don't think that's a thing. I don't really understand that. Because looking at the drawings and everything of this creature, I don't see elephant.
Elephant, no.
At all.
It had short, thick legs set off by huge claws and the back of a dinosaur with a long tail with spikes at the end. And these reports were instigated. I don't want to say instigated. These reports were originally reported by a timber cruiser, he was a land surveyor. He was very well known in Wisconsin. And his name was Eugene Shepherd. And apparently, he rounded up a whole group of people after he spotted this creature. And they went into the woods of Wisconsin to kill the beast, essentially. They did that whole thing.
With pitchforks and everything? With
pitchforks, the whole...
torches?
The whole shebang. Apparently, there's a lot of malarkey with this story. They say that Eugene Shepherd, who worked very heavily in the pines up there, had a lot of guides, and a lot of them were Native American, and the Native Americans told him the legends of their stories, and that's where he got the inspiration to create the Hodag legend.
Well, their belief was when oxen were killed, right? Their spirits went into the forest.
Right. So that was part of it, was the legend of with the Hodag was what? That this creature was birthed out of the ashes of dead oxen. And it took on their kind of mannerisms.
Not like, nice mannerisms.
Yeah, what are you talking about? What do they even mean?
Oh, man, that was good. Yeah, characteristic, short and stout, right. Strong.
Right.
Yeah.
So apparently he cashed in on this this creature he created. He brought it around to state fairs and charged people a dime to come and feast their eyes on the Hodag. And they flocked in. People far and wide came to see the Hodag. And one of the first times it was displayed was at Oneida County Fair. I can't pronounce that, God damn it. I can't pronounce anything.
I would have to look at it. I'm not sure. Now, what year do we know, around what year this was that he was charging the 10 cents to? Do we know that?
Well, he saw it in 1893 is when he first discovered it. So it couldn't have been much longer after that.
I just want to say it was a bargain what he was charging for. I just did a quick Google. What was 10 cents in 1900? I just said in today's money, and it's only $3.67. So it was cheap.
To go to
see the Hodag.
See the Hodag. So that, and they said thousands of people
Yeah.
have seen this thing. And how anyone was scared of it. I have an image of it. I have to pull it up. I have to take us off in order to do this. It's very strange. Hold on. So that's the Hodag.
I'm at a loss. How did anybody believe that that was a real creature?
The Hodag. So basically, for those of you who aren't watching and will be listening to this later, the Hodag that Eugene created was a log, and he just wrapped it in fur and put like horns on it, and that's what he toured the country with.
But it looks like a log.
It looks like a log. Like he's passing off a log with hair on it.
People paid to see this thing.
They loved it. They ate it up
in droves to see.
Well, yeah. Remember in the 18, I mean, entertainment couldn't have been in Wisconsin in say 1900.
No, what they do? Just go outside and slap each other? Like, what'd you do?
Probably. That's probably what happened. That's probably the slap. The Wisconsin Slap Festival took place in 1905. That replaced after the Hodag sham was discovered, the Wisconsin Slap Festival.
I could see it. Listen, I can attest to there's not a ton to do in Wisconsin. I did live there for a year.
Well, you lived there, right? You went to school in Wisconsin.
I did for a year and I hated it and I had to come back east, but yeah, no, the winter time is abysmal. It's freezing. There's nothing to do and everybody just gets drunk. And, you know, I was a freshman in college, so I couldn't legally go to bars and partake in any of that. So yeah, no, it's fun in the summer. They have all these festivals and music festivals. Well, I went to school in the Milwaukee area, but a lot of festivals, a lot of stuff to do in the summer, lake activities. But yeah, the winter, there's nothing.
Now, Eugene had, he was born in March of 1854. He was born in Old Fort Howard, Wisconsin, which is now known as Green Bay. And his family moved to the New London area shortly after, where Shepard went to school and worked on his dad's farm. Now, when Shepard was 12, his father passed away. And he was forced at a very young age to move into this world on his own and pretty much, you know, become a man. At a 12-year-old boy now, he was the man of the house. So he had to hire on hands to help out. He became a hired hand in other farms around the area, and then he brought on people to help on his farm, well, on his, you know, his parents' farm, now his farm. For a short while, he ventured out into the world on around his 16th birthday, where he became a tugboat captain on the Wolf River. And that's around the time when he caught his break and he began to work in the North Woods as an apprentice of being a timber cruiser. Now, a timber cruiser is pretty much what you keep an eye on forested property for the value of lumber that could be produced from that area. So pretty much he just rode up and down rivers and saw densely forested areas. It was like, ooh, this is a good spot.
That's going to be money.
This could be money. This is to, you know, we're going to harvest all the trees from this area and we're raise rain. It was very physically demanding, and he decided that he was very smart. He was very smart. He was very witty. And he decided that this whole life wasn't for me. So that's when he started, instead of becoming the spotter, he started opening up more for being of the developer and being the guy who essentially causes, you know, he's the, instead of being the scout, he became the guy that they scout for. And he worked his way up. He became the boss. And he worked his way up. And yeah, so, but he was always on to something. He was always trying to, you know, trying to gain wealth and trying to figure out his next move. And the Hodag thing just kind of popped in his head one day. And now there's people who swear that the Hodag is real.
Oh, I'm sure.
Up and down. Even though it's very well documented that Eugene was the creator of this legend.
People got to believe in something. They have their whole persona around it. We were just looking through some images and videos and stuff and see the police force in that town has the Hodag on their cruisers.
Like, yeah, if anyone's curious about where the most dangerous people in America are, they're all in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, because that entire town is they're nuts for the Hodag. Everything. They're right.
It like is their said. Life.
It's everything. It's the school mascots. It's the sports teams are named after it. The police force has the Hodag image on their police car. Imagine the police, you got pulled over and someone had the Jersey Devil on the hood.
I'd laugh at them. I'd be like, who are you?
Listen, yeah, I got to go, buddy. Well, someone's going to save your life, like your house is on fire and the fire department's coming. There's a big Hodag driving down the street.
No.
It's like, yeah, just let me burn.
You know what it looks like? We were watching that video recently on 80s toys. What was that toy called that had the eyes that bulged? It was that little ugly little monster. God.
What the hell?
Bog something. That's what it looks like.
I can't remember. My throat is so itchy right now.
It looks like that horribly,
what the hell's the name of that thing?
Ugly, but somehow adorable. Little disgusting creature of a toy that was like made of rubber and you would squeeze it and its eyes would bulge. And we just were watching a video about these toys like last week, but that's what it reminds me of. So it's like a cartoon on these police cruisers and fire engine trucks and everything. And it's mind blowing that it's literally this town's persona. And it's so,
yeah,
so wacky.
I mean, the legend he built is basically, so there's a whole thing with the folklore and the legend behind the Hodag is that the entire town of Rhinelander, apparently there are no white bulldogs because that is the Hodag's favorite food.
It's his favorite snack.
It's his favorite snack because during this frenzy when Eugene spotted the Hodag and he went and rounded up the townsfolk to go and kill the beast. Somebody brought one of their dogs, a white bulldog, for protection, and the Hodag immediately snatched it up and ate it. One bite. Just took it right out. And that was before. Then they were able to restrain the beast. They tied it to a boxcar, I believe they said, or some sort of wagon. Probably a wagon. And they dragged it back into Rhinelander, where Eugene Shepherd kept it at his house. He dug a hole in his backyard, chained it into the hole, and built a stone barn on top of it. And one morning while he was going out to feed this beast, he noticed that the front door of the barn was burst open and the chain was broken. And there was a trail leading into the river, and the river led back up into the Pine Barrens. And that's how the Hodag escaped.
Because some of the legends did say that it was not water dwelling, but that it was good in the water.
It was like good. It lived in the water or near the water.
Yeah. So it was very familiar.
Yeah.
So it could get away.
And it's very similar to the Native American legend of Machu Picchu. And Machu Picchu was, you know, it was a water-dwelling panther that the Native Americans, and they said that there was that Eugene had Native American guides that helped him with his timber spotting, and they spoke of their legends, and he kind of took the Machu Picchu legend and flipped it around a little bit, made it his own, and passed it off and cashed in on it.
You know what? Can't hate him for it.
No, the guy figured it out. He figured out what he had to do. He didn't want to be a guy cutting down trees the rest of his life. And so he made his own way, and he pretty much, and it got a lot of attention. Like, it wasn't just, once he started bringing it around to state fairs and the Barnum and Bailey, they feasted their eyes on it. And once their ears got note of this creature up in the Wisconsin woods, you know, they came up to check it out, and they were like, hey, we'll pay you a hefty price if you let us, give us the hodag to bring to, you know, put in our circus.
The Smithsonian wanted it.
The Smithsonian, right. A small group from the Smithsonian Institution announced that they were traveling to Rhinelander to inspect this discovery.
Imagine. And he was like, all right. Knowing full well.
It was around that, when that started happening, is when Shepard was like, all right, guys, you got me. I made it up. Please don't send anyone else up here to investigate this. But yeah, wild. I mean, yeah, it became the official symbol of this town in Wisconsin.
It stuck. And you know what? I shouldn't say anything, because New Jersey's hockey team is the Jersey Devils. So.
Yeah, but I mean, just that's it, though. It's not the police force in New Jersey. It's not the state troopers aren't going around in the dog car from Dumb and Dumber.
No, I know that it is. It seems excessive, but you know what? It's what they got. It's what they got.
It's fun, though. I think it's fun. They have a big festival. You know what? I was astonished when they said that the Hodag Festival, the country music festival, attracts like 50,000 people.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you know what's crazy? It's so big. And now that we've been researching it a little bit, I had never heard of it, but like, it's such a big festival, and I never heard of the Hodag, and I lived there, you know, in Wisconsin for a year. Now, granted, Wisconsin is a big state, and like I said, I was in the Milwaukee area, and I believe this took place, the Hodag is in northern Wisconsin, correct? Like closer to the Michigan border.
Yep.
But yeah, for something to draw in tens of thousands of people like that, I'm just astonished that I hadn't heard about it. But now I kind of want to go.
The festival this weekend, well, lucky you said that, because the festival this weekend is July 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. It's a four-day music festival, country music festival.
Wow.
But the overflow campsites are still available.
Oh, so how far are those?
I have no idea. But
if they're overflow.
If it's overflow, that means they're all booked up.
You know what? Out there, that could mean people's yards. Because you know people who live near Lambeau in Green Bay?
Oh, yeah.
They'll charge like $5 and people just park on their lawns.
On their lawns. And well, walk, I mean, the stadium's in the middle of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's a karaoke contest at the Hodag Country Music Festival.
Oh, you got to enter.
I'm the karaoke king of the Northeast, but this isn't the Northeast. This is a whole different ballgame. No,
now you need a brand new title. Now you got to show your stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
To the Midwest.
I don't know if they're ready. I don't know if they're ready.
That would be a big, big fun thing to do.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare, features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Now, when you were in Wisconsin,
yes,
you said they didn't speak of the Hodak to you. You weren't told of its presence in your in the welcome packet.
No, I didn't get that in the welcome packet.
I kind of find that hard to believe.
Wasn't in the welcome packet. I never heard of it in my life. I could tell you about the Miller Brewery. I could tell you about the Milwaukee Brewers a little bit, wearing my Brewers hat. And you know about the college out there, but the Badgers are the mascot of the state college out there. So you know the Badgers, a lot of exciting creatures that they like.
Now I wonder how the Badgers got that, not the Hodags.
I don't know. I don't know the origin of the Badger mascot. That's the mascot of the state university. The college, the university I went to, I'll just say it was Marquette University in Milwaukee, and they were the Golden Eagles. I want to know something terrible. I don't know if this is true, just talking about the mascots and everything. So before it was the Marquette Golden Eagles, they had options, and it was it's a Catholic Jesuit school. So the options were Golden Eagles, something else. And then another option was the Jumping Jesuits. So it doesn't sound bad until you know the backstory of why somebody wanted that name. Apparently one of the Jesuits committed suicide, jumped out of a building.
Oh, that's dark.
Yeah. So I mean, if anybody listening went to Marquette, knows Marquette history and knows what I'm talking about, I swear this was it was before I started school there. So I don't know how long before that it was. But that was something that went around. So I don't know if that was rumor or fact. Also, Marquette is where Chris Farley went to school. That was a cool thing. So there's some cool stuff that I know about Milwaukee, but yeah, never heard of the Hodag.
I'm just so enamored with this.
It's kind of like a wild cute little creature. It's ugly and cute.
Well, I enjoy that the whole town is behind it.
If you ever need to see pride of something, it's this town behind the Hodak for sure. I can see it in your face. You're
I'm all in on Hodak. I want to go to Rhinelander and see all of this.
Let's go, but only in the summertime because I am not doing another Midwestern winter. Nope.
Well, I mean, we're approaching the spring.
And the festival you said is July.
July.
Maybe that's our first introduction to Rhinelander.
Let's head on up for the Hodag Fest.
Why not? Bring the baby. We'll go. We'll dress her in a little Hodag costume. Let's go.
I mean, that's really cool. The whole town is littered with statues. It's such a bizarre place.
Yeah, if you guys look it up, on YouTube or anything and just see some of these videos that people put out with images and everything, it's statues upon statues upon statues, just littering the town. It's so crazy. And they, you know what? They all look the same. So it's like this guy pretty much created the image of it and everybody ran with it. Nobody altered really what it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, there is a man named Luke Sylvester Kearney published a detailed account of Gene Shepard's Ho-Dog capture in his book titled The Ho-Dog. Ho-Dag. Why do I keep saying dog? I keep pronouncing it wrong.
Am I saying it was just now? Just now you did.
Just now that was the only time, the last two? Ho-Dag. Yeah. Ho-Dag. So I don't understand what's happening. He published it in 1928 under his nickname, Lakeshore Kearney, The Ho-Dag and Other Tales of Logging Camps. And pretty much he states that the Ho-Dag is actually, like we said, the beastly reincarnation of an abused ox. So in the book, or the article, whatever it's, I think it was a book, he states that it was at the end of the seventh year of the cremation of an ox, which had led to an unusually hard, when you read things from like that long ago, sometimes they're not speaking English is what I'm trying to get at. That doesn't make sense.
Is it that, or can you just not speak?
Or I just probably can't read.
What does it say?
It was at the end of the seventh year of the cremation of an ox, which had led an unusually hard life, that, because there's no punctuation. It's just like a run-on sentence.
Yeah. All right.
So it's up to me to figure it out, which ain't going to happen. That an event was to happen, which would cast its shadow upon every man who witnessed it. As the fire died down, there slowly issued from the great pile of ashes a mythical animal, later to be known as the Ho-Dag.
Ho-Dag.
I don't know what to say. It's so wild.
It is wild, but, you know, I would like to see it. It sounds like it's pretty cool to go to the town, go to the festival. You know, there's nothing quite like that here surrounding, like we were talking about the Jersey Devil. I mean, there's always local town halls and history buffs who are hosting, you know, story time and, you know, about the myth of the Jersey Devil and stuff, but that's about it. There's no giant festival around a mythical creature. But yeah, no, this is just, it's wild. It's wild to know that this is, and this happens annually, right? This festival?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
every year. Well, there's the Jersey Devil Film Festival that happens every year.
Yeah, but it's not like
celebrating
the Jersey Devil.
No. But it's crazy how similar that the Ho-Dag was to the Mishipishu. There's so many different ways to pronounce it.
So if he had heard that folklore from the natives,
and there was people who gave credit, because the Mishipishu was there's pictographs of it drawn into rocks around the Great Lake regions, and people who, you know, saw that while they were on the timber journeys up there, and said, oh, that, you know, it kind of morphed from being the Mishipishu legend into, oh, that's that pictograph on that rock over there from, you know, 100 years ago that's the Ho-Dag.
Listen, let's be real. This guy was a con artist. He found a way to make money on gullible people.
Yeah. And he robbed, he completely robbed.
And he ran with it.
He stole their land and their,
legend.
And their legend. That son of a.
So. The town celebrates him. I don't know. I don't see him as the hero.
We don't celebrate no Eugene Shepherd in this house.
So, you know,
that's rocks, how I see it. Gene.
Yeah. Con artist. That's it. Yeah, I chained it up in my barn and built a barn around it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's just settle down, Gene.
Now his ghost is gonna come to our house.
All right. It's going to come through the door behind me. It's going to start slowly opening. I have to just start screaming like Kevin McAllister. I'm not afraid anymore.
That'll work.
Work for him.
Yeah, with humans. And it wasn't, what was he scared of? The boiler in the basement?
Yeah, that wasn't a human. The boiler's a human being.
Yeah, but it's not haunted.
Mr. Boiler. And you know, it said he wasn't going to eat his pee-pee. Wait, what? That's a different movie. That's the toilet bowl from Look Who's Talking. Want to eat his pee-pee. Give me that pee-pee. Remember that? Why did that just jump in my head?
I do remember that.
Look Who's Talking. Not even the first one. That's Look Who's Talking too.
Is it too?
Uh-huh. When he's potty training.
Oh, my
God. Give me that pee-pee.
You're right. Oh, that's
funny. That's how they should have ended Home Alone. The boiler screaming at him, "Give me your pee-pee."
So bad, so wrong,
so funny. All right, that's all I got for the Hodag. He's a boring legend. It wasn't. I just wanted to touch on him and talk about him and how crazy it was.
Yeah, he's a cute little creature, I think. And I was excited too, because I like to talk about Wisconsin a little bit. I know I sound like I'm probably bitter about it, and I was bitterly cold.
Bitterly cold, ha, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say it first.
But I did.
Yeah, but I was going to.
See, I'm getting better.
That's what's important.
So, no, but I had some good memories out there. So it was... It was fun to talk about Wisconsin a little bit for me.
Little bit. You said like a sentence and a half.
Well, I mean, I could talk about.
Like, I went to Wisconsin College, and that was it.
Well, I didn't want to take away from the episode.
The Hodag?
I said I'm wearing my Milwaukee Brewers hat because I couldn't find my cheese head in the attic. I do have a cheese head.
You were frantically looking for the cheese head.
I was trying to find my cheese head. I've never actually been to a Packers game. I would love to go. I'd love to go to Lambeau. And I've been on the Miller Brewery tour. Actually, the one and only time I went, I was underage. And I was still the only person to correctly answer the tour guide when he asked what time it was. People were looking at their watches, and I was like 17. I'm like, it's Miller time.
Bunch of bozos you went on that tour with.
Bunch of bozos. They did have a beautiful beer garden, though, for like samples after the tour was over. If I went back and I went now, being obviously of age, I'd like to do that again because it was a lot of fun. I've been to Miller Park. I've seen the Mets play the Brewers. I'm actually a Mets fan, but you know, while I was out there, I like to get some Brewers gear.
Front runner.
And yeah, what?
Since she's a front runner.
I'm a front runner. And what else? I went to Summerfest, which is a big like week and a half long music festival that Milwaukee has. I saw Britney Spears there. I was so excited. Oh, and I'm sitting front row watching Kansas. And I don't know if this is appropriate. I'm going to tell the story anyway. That was funny.
About the cowboy guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This guy was hitting on me, and he's like, he said his name was Bronco, and he said, "Save a horse, ride a Bronco."
It's a nice boy, that Bronco.
I'm dying laughing, but the Kansas show was great. That was a lot of fun. So anyway, all these like different artists, I saw Heart played there. And it was a lot of fun. Summerfest, a lot of fun. They also have, other festivals, Irish Fest, Italian Fest, and things like that.
Hodag Fest,
obviously. No, not in Milwaukee. But yeah, so that's about my extent of Wisconsin. I mean, you know, it is what it is, but no Hodag. So this is all new for me too. So it was fun to learn about.
Yeah, it was fun. The important part is the friends we've made.
You're my only friend.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. On a Friday night. Where we talked about the Hodag.
You and our kid and our dog.
For spewed nonsense about Wisconsin.
Listen, it's what I got for you.
All right. That was a lot of fun. Until next week. So I'm trying to figure out a sign off for the I'm Christopher Vines. Like I can't do that every time.
You'll get there. We'll figure something out.
Yeah. Or we won't. And we just stop doing it.
Or like, you know.
Well, not thanks. Stop doing it, but stop. Just shut it off.
Or just, you know, thanks for sitting fireside with us.
Oh.
Oh, come on. That's cute.
That was very nice of you.
That's very nice. Well, you know what? I'm Megan Feinstein, and that's my co-host, Christopher Weinstein.
Oh, man. And then there was violence.
And this All is right. Modern American and History this is Fireside.
Fireside Folklore. Folklore. It's not even the right name I'm saying. I don't even know what the hell the show's called.
Folklore Fireside.
Good night, folks.
Good night.